Oh yeah, zebra time.
Let's take our intro now. I like it.
Okay, cool.
My name is Gabriel Valdivia.
And this is Charlie Deeds.
And this is Bread Time. I just spent 2 hours in a meeting room with 10 engineers. Help me.
I've been in this position, so let's see what you got. Talk to me about it.
How do designers work with engineers?
I like this one.
So what works and what doesn't work when working with someone that thinks differently than you, that has different values than you, and that really has a different heuristic for what is good or what is bad?
Overall, the thing I'm starting to learn just kind of recently is that every design and engineering conversation kind of goes like this. Design at some point has like now come to some sort of solution for the user experience, and they're coming to the conversation like, here it is, like, I really got it. Here's the solution. But the engineer at that particular moment is just starting to dig into the problems that have to be solved by them. So every time a designer is like, I'm excited now, you're just 100% going to get shut down because the engineer at that particular moment is just starting to understand the problems. And I'm learning that the problems that they come up with are always the problems I didn't think about in the design. Like the problems will be these fundamental, like what I would consider edge cases or something like that. But they start reinstructing the design. So now when I'm approaching these conversations, I never frame it as like a conclusive design. I just start the conversation of this is where I'm at. And I never say that it is the final, because instead of like the expectation of like, we're going to build this thing that I've dreamed up and it's awesome, I start it with, this is where I'm at right now. How can we make it better? And that's like how to, I think, start a productive conversation. I have no idea if this is what you're going through now, right?
Maybe what they feel is defensive towards a lack of inclusiveness and coming up with that solution, right? Because design is in this middle point between generally a business or product direction and the final product, right? And engineering is typically like the last bit before you hit the button and you deliver it.
This always failed for me before, because I would be like, I thought it was my job as the designer to be like, here is the solution. But constantly in every scenario, there was like kickback or like I just didn't feel like sometimes people trusted me, like all sorts of stuff like that would come up. And then I slowly started to be like, okay, let's like really make this a way more inclusive conversation. Even that didn't work because I'm still like proposing a solution. And I think that's like difficult from the engineering perspective. You're like, I'm building the thing and I want to believe in what I'm building, right? So if I came to you with like any proposal for any wild thing right now, your first thing would be like, I'm not sure, because like generally not a lot of ideas pass through your filter as like, that's a great idea, right? Like if you're like a critical thinker kind of type of person, like the first things you're going to do is try to pop holes in it. And I think we want to deliver solutions which are like a happy moment, because it feels like we're doing our job the very best in that sort of scenario. But that's not it at all, especially like when we're doing this sort of iterative design, it's not ever going to work like that. It's always the conversation of like moving forward together.
There's also an alternate school of thought, which is that each discipline has a role to play, and design has this role of like painting a North Star, something that is just supposed to set the bar high, and engineering's role is to be pragmatic and be like, okay, how can we compromise and find something that we can actually deliver? So if you abide by those roles, then you could easily be seduced as a designer to constantly present wild ideas and wild solutions, and rely on that conversation between you and the engineers to be like, okay, let's build like 10% of that or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going through a kickback phase or something, but you saw I went through a very North Star phase in my career where I was just pumping out North Stars and not living in the practical at all. For whatever reason, nowadays, I like kind of hate North Stars. Like, it's like, if you're not going to build that, why are we even talking about it? Because what I really care about is the steps we can take in the product as it is to move it forward so it's fundamentally better for people. So like I like I keep my designs like as scoped back, as scaled down as possible at every step. If I don't think it's like practical to build it, I don't even show it now.
So is there no value to a North Star? Like how do you define the general direction where those incremental improvements head toward?
I think there's probably value to a North Star, but often North Stars are presented as like a potential future reality, right? That's like, but that's not it. Like, you have to think about, like, when have you ever seen a North Star come like totally to fruition? It's never that. It's like, we use this one part of it. Okay, well, why didn't you show me like four iterative tiny things, and one of those was the one that we actually got to in the end? Because we're not getting to that North Star. And I think it's better to just like work with principles with your team, like shared values, and that's like your North Star, right? If everyone believes the product is utility driven and must benefit people in this particular way, like that's like an easier North Star for me. It's like a set of things that we all agree upon, so we don't have to have lots of like product conversations. We all agree that this is the direction of the product because we want this to be the experience. Cool. So what are the things that we can actually do now to make that come true?
I do think there is value to a North Star. I don't think either of us are probably the designers to gain value from that. Like, I personally get very frustrated when I work on things that don't see that light of day. And I know for a fact there is designers whose entire career is making those things, and they really enjoy it. Like all these really pie-in-the-sky Google X R&D projects that are deliberately made so they never actually see the light of day, but to illustrate a certain concept and get people inspired. I think there's value in that, but I think it takes a different designer than you and I.
So like, I'll be the engineer for a second. So like, when we worked together, like we did Talk Turkey together, it's a website. If you had presented me a design which was a North Star for it, I would have been like, like, it's just like an overwhelming feeling. Like, I can't do all that. Like, why are you like showing this to me? Like, that's actually like pretty disturbing. And it, like, I think that was bad. That would be bad for my psyche. But what we did was is instead like kind of hit the minimal thing to start. And then we just kept pushing one little feature more. And we did it together. You pushed me to go way further on that project than I had ever intended in the beginning, because we just did it along the way. And for each step, I saw the value in what we were putting effort into. So it kept pushing me. I was like, yeah, that would be cool. Let's do it. And I think like that type of relationship you can get between a designer and engineer is where you get all the action. When you get that like trust that you're working towards the same thing, and you just like say like, hey, can we do this thing? Yeah, we can do that thing. And sometimes the engineer will push back and say like, no, like that's like too much work. And you'll be like, well, is it valuable? And then you have that conversation. How valuable is it? Maybe that one's not so valuable, but another time it might be so valuable. It's like, okay, I guess I will put the effort into that thing.
So what happens when you don't consider the same things valuable, right? Like, as an engineer, you might consider speed valuable, and as a designer, you might consider the light valuable, right? And those two things sometimes are mutually exclusive.
I think that's like what makes a great band, right? Like, if you have that magic and you really do agree on things, like I think for us, like with the Talk Turkey project, we agreed that creating this illusion of like it really being an application would be very valuable. Okay, we had that shared understanding. Okay, great. Like, everything was pretty easy as far as the discussions around which things should be included or which shouldn't. But if we didn't have that understanding between us, then how were we ever going to get to that point?
Let's talk about that, because oftentimes you don't choose your band members on the team. Right, like, unlike a band, which you kind of like rally together and you're part of that process, and the process of making the product, you don't really choose who your coworkers are. So then not only do you have to like earn each other's trust, but you now have to come up with a shared set of values that you can rely on that objectively will define the future of your product.
Usually if you're being brought into something, other people have been doing it before you, right? So I start by saying like, who's here that I need to know and like, you know, understand what they've done, and then I listen to them, right? And I think like instead, like it's easy for a designer to come in and be like, I've got this vision and we're doing this thing now. And that's like not a great way to start a team. It's better to go in and say like, hey, what are we working on? What's going on? What are the things that like you're concerned about? And it's just about human stuff, right? Then it's like, if you can build trust with people by like just being normal and like listening to them, and they'll listen to you. And then all of a sudden you start the right conversations. most people are so good, right? Like when you like talk to them, like it's all cool and you can get to that point of trust. Of course, some people have like really strong personalities and maybe you'll never get along with them because you have a strong personality or whatever. Those scenarios you can't really do much about. Sometimes you could still make a good product even if you like are like, if you fundamentally disagree with someone, there's also the opportunity to make a good product because that back and forth push and pull sometimes beneficial. You can't really like decide what's going to work. You just have to kind of go with it and see if it works. Engineers, like, they know design because they design their code and stuff like that, right? So, but they don't actually understand a lot of what we actually do in our work or like the process of design. So on multiple teams I've been on, we've had like sort of like things like any engineer who wants to see like what we do will like walk you through like a process of like what a designer goes through. And almost undoubtedly, engineers are always like, whoa, there's like way more to that than I thought. I thought you were just making up stuff. And once they can see like the process that you go through, the layers and layers of rejection before you like propose things, they tend to, like, as anyone would, generally have like a little more like respect for you and like what you have brought to the table. I think that's like a really nice getting on the same page thing too. And like vice versa, like understanding their problems. Like the way I do it is like I try to code in different things, right? And understand how hard it is constantly. Like every time I encounter problems in writing code, I'm like, wow, this is a difficult job that is fully taxing and never goes in a straight line. There's like moments where it goes really fast and moments where it goes really slow. So I try to like not only understand people as they're going through these problems, but also like be really sympathetic. It's like, okay, I'm not going to put more on you right now because I know you're like stuck on something. But as soon as you get freed up from that, like ask me what's up because I might have some more stuff for you. And that like just trying to be like sympathetic to each other. That's where a lot of that like trust comes from. And then the good stuff comes from that, I think.
One thing that happens to me all the time is we spend X amount of time working on a product, and the beginning of that time is super exciting, right? Because you're like generating all these ideas and seeing stuff come out of nothing. Now with prototyping tools, you can make those ideas interactive and almost get to the whole thing in a very short amount of time. That stage of the process is really exciting for me. And then there's the next stage, which is handing over assets and making sure people implement things correctly and dealing with like hundreds of thousands of bugs all the time, all these edge cases. That's slightly less interesting to me. And then there's the last part, which is like where you have like 80 to 90% of the product done. To me, that is horrifying because I'm like bored by that. I'm like, I have fatigue with this product. I've been doing it for like however long, too long. And now I'm thinking about the next thing. I'm thinking about like, okay, what does V2 of this product look like? And I think it's very tempting at that stage to present those ideas with your engineers, because you theoretically developed some sort of rapport with them, and be like, okay, I know you're really close to finishing this V1, but check out what V3 could look like.
Yeah, I've done that, and it just never goes right. I think like here's two things I thought of in there. One is we commonly ask engineers like, oh, can we like do this and do this like before the cut or whatever, right? And we're asking a lot of people's time. But when engineers ask us for assets, like I'm gonna say across the board, designers are kind of lazy about getting them the assets right away. One thing I've been doing in the past year or something is like, when you ask me for an asset, I get it to you within minutes. Like I will just drop everything to get you that asset. Engineers really appreciate that because you like don't keep them blocked. It sucks for you a little bit because it's like, oh, what if I was doing something else that's like I'm in the zone or something, but just do it. Just like help them as much as you can, because then they're just more likely to probably be like, oh, Charlie drops everything to get me these things. Like I'll give him a chance with this like idea, you know, or whatever. Towards the end of a project, as we're finishing the build, like what you're talking about, like that 90% point where it's just kind of like you could rip your skin off because you're so bored of it at this point. That's the moment where you have to like give them feedback on their work. Be like, yo, this is like really solid feeling now. Thanks for putting all this time into it and stuff like that, because they might not be getting that appreciation always for the stuff that's really important in the work to the designer and to the user experience. So like they've had to deal with all these problems and just a small percentage of them are the user experience. But if you just celebrate that stuff, they see that the work that they did for your interest in the product is valuable, and that's just like helpful. It's like, thank you. Yeah,
no, that's great. So let us know if you have any tips for working with your engineers. We have a Twitter account. It's at BrettTimeFM. We also have a website where you can subscribe to get these episodes delivered to your ear holes, which is BrettTime.fm. My name is Gabriel Valdivia.
And I'm Charlie Dietz. Have a good evening or day, whatever it is.